to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, September 11th, 2022, by Father John Muhlenduck.
Two parables. You heard them before? Yeah, we've heard these before. So here we go again, same parables. But you know what? Of the two of them, I really like the lost sheep. It's kind of my favorite. I love that story. And I went back and I tried to find out when did I first hear about this. And then I remembered I had given to me a small, probably 5x7 little picture of the shepherd and the lost sheep with the sheep on the shoulders of the shepherd when I was 5 years old, given to me by a Sunday school teacher. I don't know who she was, but I know it was really, really significant for me. It had a blue background and it had yellow outlining the shepherd and the sheep. And there was even a staff in there. I tried to get Bishop Kimo's staff, but he said it had 3 crosses on and no hooks. So he was safe, but it didn't work for this sermon. But I saw the picture, which was really, really neat. And I realized after a while that at night it would seem to glow. And then I realized, yeah, when it was a bright, in the daylight, when it was bright, it would shine longer at night. So I found out it was luminescent, it was iridescent, it glowed in the dark, and I was ecstatic because you could see this outline. And then I found out that if I got it close to the nightlight next to my bed, I could make it go longer. So then I found out that if I put the picture on top of the light, it would go even longer. So I went for a long time doing that, and I finally found out that you could only go so long until it started to smoke, and then it wasn't too good to do that. But the picture would last probably for 30 minutes, and I put it by my bed, and I just felt so safe and so wonderful. It was just wonderful. It's probably the best picture I ever had. It comforted me a lot. Over time, the picture, though, became brittle. You know, you keep heating something and cooling it and heating. So, you know what that's like in the kitchen. You know, things get brittle. And it cracked. Not all the way through. It just had a line running through it. So I'd see the shepherd and go right on through there. But I kept heating it and kept doing it. And then after a while, I went and I tried to tape it together, you know, and tried to glue it together. It was never the same. Never. But with time, I looked at that picture a little differently. Instead of seeing a flawed picture, I saw a wonderful friend who loved me no matter what, crack and all. I still loved it. The hidden message in the picture was not the crack, but the experience of security I had from the picture. I held on to that picture for years. And then one day, it disappeared. I don't know if it got thrown in the trash, if my mother got it, I don't know, but it disappeared. But the memories are still warm. I learned another lesson from that picture. We expect some things to stay the same always. The picture was always together. But the truth is that there's something new that's going to happen even when it cracks. I think we expect grandma's turkey stuffing to always taste the same? Maybe. She's had a good year. We expect McDonald's burgers always to taste the same, and that's why chains are all over the country, because if you go to one place, you know it's probably going to taste the same as another place. Sundays are the same if you think about it. They come every 7 days. We expect the church's liturgy to be the same, and most of the time it is. You know why we like sameness? Because we feel safe. Jesus brings in the truth that no matter how we want everything to stay the same, things are going to change. He tells us that once we hear him, our lives aren't going to be the same. God breaks through into everyone's life, even in the cracks. There's always change, and there always seems to be a crack appearing in our lives. You know that, and I know that. We saw that this week with the death of Queen Elizabeth II. I kind of thought, somehow, in my back of my mind, she was going to live forever. I mean, she just keeps going and going and going and going. The Energizer Bunny has no comparison with her. She's incredible. And then things changed. The World Trade Centers, as we remember that today, with that horrible experience coming down on the people and the losses that were involved with that, we kind of thought those two towers would stay forever. They were just indestructible. And suddenly, just like that, they're gone. The crack in our life appears. The good thing about parables, is because we're talking about parables today, is that parables reveal the cracks in our own lives. Parables aren't supposed to be cute. They're there to teach us deeper lessons. So what about the parable of the lost sheep, the one I really love? I went on to find out what other kind of interpretations there were of the parable. I went and I Googled it, and I read articles and stuff, and I went into all of the commentaries from the Lutherans and the Episcopals and the Methodists and the Baptists, and you know what? They basically all sounded the same. It was all the same. It was about the good shepherd who goes around, finds a little cuddly sheep, and brings him home, and everybody feels good, and then we go out and go into the world feeling really nice about ourselves. And I asked myself, is that all there is? And then I went to pictures, and I started to look to pictures, because artists, you know, have different feelings about different things. And some of the pictures were fairy tale-like. They had little sheep with, you know, fluffy wool on it, and the shepherds hugging them, and they're looking really good and really nice together. And then I found some other pictures that were a little different, and they were a bit horrifying to me. It's the shepherd off the side of a cliff trying to pick up this little sheep, and the little sheep's down there, and he doesn't even look nice. The little scrubbly little thing. So, despite the age-old repetition of the storyline, I think each of us connects with this story in a different way. For many of us, it is about being lost. We all feel lost in some way, so we easily identify with that lost sheep. And some of us are lost because we feel like we've not been good enough. God wouldn't want us. Or we don't believe God really loves us. Some of us are frightened of life, and we simply need to be rescued. At least we feel that way. And so we wait for God to rescue us. We keep waiting for God to rescue us. We all need to get rescued. And behold, yes, God is good because we do get rescued. And then I wondered about the culture, our culture, that asks us to accept the same interpretation of the parable again and again and again. I sat in silence. I sat in silence for a long time. And then I reread the parable with squinty eyes and said, what's missing here? There's always a crack in something. My question this morning came up to me. Why did the lamb get lost to begin with? Do you know? Why did the lamb get lost to begin with? Some would say, he didn't listen to the voice of the shepherd. You gotta listen like you do to mom and dad. Or the lamb was bad. That was a bad lamb. The rest of them were good. Or the lamb was too little and too weak. The lamb was wayward. And perhaps the lamb was just the black sheep of the family. Who? We make assumptions based upon what we think we should feel. But the story doesn't say these things. That's the problem. The lamb was simply found missing. Just there. So perhaps this isn't about a bad or a wayward lamb, but about a lamb maybe living out the fullness of life in God. Let me say that again. This may not be a bad or a wayward lamb, but about a lamb living out the fullness of life in God. At this point, I think people's brains are starting to crack at this. That's okay. Let's look at the story from the point of view of God, who's looking at a lamb who found complete faith and security in Christ. Now, imagine a flock of sheep who live together, you know, rubbing their fur together and running around in circles. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again. It's baa in the morning. It's baa baa in the afternoon. And it's baa 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 in the evening. And probably baa 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 at bath time. And when they hear the voice of the shepherd, it's still baa baa baa. The sheep travel together all day long, circling around each other and imitating each other. There's no need to imitate anything different because, well, simply stated, everything is the same day after day after day. But they're all good sheep. They're even content because everything is routinized. Everything seems to be safe because all the sheep's baa just like each other. They fool themselves about what life is about. That is, until the wolf comes along. And that's another story. Now, imagine another little lamb in that flock who's just wakening from a deep sleep. He sees the sun coming up over the hill. Warm rays or sun are cresting his head. So he gets up, staggers up, and follows the morning light into a nearby field. The field is damp with dew. His little hoofs run on the damp dew. And the grass is green, moist, and it tastes really good, like fresh Greek salad without the anchovies. So the lamb decides to eat and relax and sleep a little more. He's got no worries. Throughout the day, he moves from field to field. He takes in the mystery of the clouds over the head, the flowers in the field. He drinks from the cool water in the bubbling creek. He doesn't worry about getting back to the flock. He doesn't worry about the dangers he might encounter, and especially doesn't miss the baa, baa, baa of the rest of the flock. He focuses simply on the goodness of all that he's experiencing. He's filled with a sense of security. He's a comfortable being in the presence of God. And when evening comes, the lamb still doesn't worry. He enjoys the sunset, watches the stars and moon appear, and even settles down to sleep. He knows that his creator is watching over him. And he wonders about the rest of the flock who'd still be going to bed repeating the same old anthem of baa, baa, baa. A flock who's never risked anything, never ventured out into the full goodness of God's world, and never believed that they might be taken home safely at the end of the day. The little lamb trusted the shepherd would come in the shepherd's own time and his own way. And he would always come filled with compassion and never with judgment. The little lamb trusted that. I think that each of us have a little lamb inside all of us. And each of us, at least in this life, are part of a flock that too often bleats out baa, baa, baa about life rather than risk venturing out. It's easy to keep saying the world is so divided, bah. It's so politicized, bah. It's so violent, bah, bah. It's so evil, bah, bah, bah. It's harder to risk leaving that complaining dialogue that we have in our heads and to venture out in what we might feel to be an unknown world. You might find a pasture, a place of solace, a place of comfort if you dare venture out. And certainly you'll see the Good Shepherd in a different light. I encourage you this week to trust the Good Shepherd. He'll find you when you leave the flock and venture out wherever you go physically, mentally, or spiritually. God will find you where you go. And when you follow the journey of the Lamb, you'll be rewarded when he lifts you up on his shoulders and he says, rejoice, this is no longer my lost sheep, but you are my faithful and contented one. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.